We had a wonderful meeting in Tuscaloosa, Alabama yesterday and enjoyed the blessings of not only fellowship with one another, but the Lord was there. I pray that the Lord is here. And I pray that He blesses me to feed you and discharge my duty in helping you understand more about His Word, and that He would bless you to be in a position of praise and glory and honor unto Him. We've been talking about the resurrection for 6 weeks now, and I'd like to finish up with some thoughts in 1 Corinthians 15, or at least introduce what's on my mind. Verse 45 of 1 Corinthians 15. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, what we've been talking about is leading up to this. All the things that we've been talking about is leading up to what Paul has under consideration. And I want to go back and help us to think about some things about this image. You know that God created man in His own image. Now, He didn't create you in His image. Naturally. The only one that was created in God's image was Adam in a natural way. Y'all ever thought about that? I would be inclined to believe, just because of I know how sinners are, that Adam was the most perfect man and Eve was the most perfect woman that there ever was, of course, outside of Christ. Now, when God created Adam, God said, let us, talking about the Trinity, let us, me, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. So he created Adam in his image. Now, an image is not the same thing as the thing, is it? When I show you a picture of me, and you look at the picture, you say, it looks like you, but it's not you. And that would be a correct assumption or a correct declaration. That picture looks like me, but it is not me. Adam looked like God, but he was not God. He didn't look like God. I don't think he looked like God physically, but he might have. I don't know what God looks like because God's a spirit. I don't know what God looks like. I don't know what, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I don't know what we're going to look like. But when Adam was created, he was made like God. It was made like in his image. Like him, but not him. Y'all got that? Now, Adam was created in the image of God, and then they had him and Eve bore a son, and his name was Cain. And was he born in the image of God? No, he was not. He was born in the image of their newfound situation, which was sinful creatures that displeased God and were disobedient to God. And we didn't take long for sin to have its effect, did it? Because Cain, had another one named Abel. And Cain murdered his brother. That wasn't after the image of God, was it? It certainly can't be said that Cain was procreated in the image of God. He wasn't. And you and I are not procreated in the image of God. When, as Porter, grandson, I love him. If you want to talk about him, we'll talk about him after we get finished. But Porter, as beautiful as that boy is, as much as I love him, he is not born in the image. He wasn't conceived in the image of God. And when we first saw him, the first time I saw him, when I looked at him, I didn't see God in him. I saw Hannah and Colton in him. Because he wasn't conceived after the image of God. He was conceived after the image of fallen man. And every natural man is conceived after the fallen man. They're not conceived after the image of God. You ever thought about that? I hope you have. So, time goes on. Have y'all ever, now Chuck and Sheila and Donnie and Peggy are probably the only ones that is going to understand what I'm talking about. In this illustration anyway, I've got another one. Adam was created in the image of God. And have y'all remember when back when we were in school and they had those mimeograph machines, you know, with the purple ink, and they would take it and they would take it and it was blurry and it was pitiful. The original looked good, right? And then the first time you copied it, it was a little blurry. But if you take the blurred copy and put it as the original and run it through that thing, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and more hard to see and more fuzzy and more tainted the more copies that are made. And you wonder why evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse? It's because of that fact. You take a copy machine. Most of y'all, all y'all know what a copy machine is today. It's not a mimeograph machine. It's a copy machine. All right, you take a copy an original, like I got an original document right here that I printed off this morning. Some printers are better than others. Think about that. Now, then we've got this original copy. And this original copy, if I take it to a copy machine and I lay it on the glass and I hit the green button and a copy of this comes out, right? That copy is going to look different. It's going to look really close, but there might be a few little ink splotches on it or something. You take that copy and you now put that new copy under the glass as the original, and you hit the green button, and another copy comes out, and it gets worse and worse. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what's happening to humanity. Is we are a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. We're nothing like Adam was in terms of his created state. We're nothing like that. We're not even as good as he was after the fall. Do y'all get that? We're not even that good. We're worse and worse and worse than Adam was. We're, I've heard it said thousands of times, we're Adam multiplied. You ever heard that? We're Adam multiplied. So the copy of the copy of the copy of the copy can't be what we fashion our lives after, can it? It can't be what we, how we measure our lives, can it? I can't look at Chuck or Colton or Donnie or anybody else, even Brother Howard, as much as I love that man, Now, it'd be nice for me to be like him, but he's not my measuring stick. He's just a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. Thousand times. What I need to do is I need to figure out who I need to copy. Who I need to go back to the original. But am I going to go back to Adam? In that state. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what Adam was like. Well, I know he was good and very good because God said he was. God. Now, can you imagine that? I look at something, I make stuff, and I look at it and I think, man, I wished I'd have done something different. Man, I wished I would have done this instead of that. Look at that embellishment that I put in that. That thing's got a dent in it where I dropped my chisel on it and it dug out a piece. I'm going to have to start all over. God didn't have to say that because when he created Adam, he looked at him and he made him perfect and good and very good. But boy, it didn't take long for them dents and scratches and all that to come on Adam, did it? After his fall. Now, I want to talk about this image. When we're... Something has to happen to us, don't we? Doesn't it? We must have a change. We must have a change. And I submit to you that we have more than one change. We have our the first thing that has to happen to us is we've got to have something happen to this natural body to make it better than it was conceived in. And I submit to you that it's got to be a new creation. And I want to read something. It's in Colossians, I believe. Wow. Chapter 3. And it's too good to leave any of it out. So I'm going to read down through 12. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. He's talking to live people. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Mortify, therefore, Paul says, because of this, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. These big words, aren't they? And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Listen, here it is. This is what I wanted. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, he's not talking about after the image of Adam, is he? He's talking that this new man, something has to happen. If it doesn't happen, you're just an old man. You're not a new man. What does that mean? That means that we must be born again. That is a new creation, folks. And when that new creation happens to you, we talked about how it happens last week. When the Spirit comes upon you, that is a new creation. And that new creation doesn't make you look like Adam. It makes you look like your Creator, which is Christ, which is God. You look like Him. That's the image that new creation is. It's better than that which Adam was created in. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? It's better than that. Why is it better than the creation that Adam had? It's because Adam was created as being corruptible, but not corrupted. And this new man is a new creation, and it's an incorruptible creation because your new creation is after the image of Christ and not Adam. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? Does this make sense? Makes perfect sense to me. I hope I'm explaining it so that it makes sense. Now, Paul keeps on going, and He wants you to know, I want you to know, God wants you to understand that image, and Paul tells us in Romans 8 what that is that image is what we are predestined to be conformed to, right? Now, he says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow. So these aren't the people that just decide they want to be born again. These are the people that are foreknown by God in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, those people are foreknown, and they're for whom He did foreknow them also. That same group did He predestinate. You don't like that word? I'm sorry. God used that word. God told Paul to use that word. God predestinated these people to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not Adam, folks. I like that, don't you? Because Adam was corruptible. And Jesus Christ is not corruptible. Amen. That image that we're predestined to be conformed to is the image of His Son. And I like that. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, and I want you to understand that when you have that new man, when you are a new creation, when God said, when, you know, Adam didn't ask to be formed, did he? God just formed Adam. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, of natural life. So also is the new creation. We're formed in Adam, right? That's our natural man, but it takes the new creation, the new breath, the breath of God to come to make that new creation in that old man. And it's an old man and new man housed in the same body. I like that. It's called the inner man in other places. It's called the spiritual man in other places. That's all talking about the same thing, the born-again man. The born-again man. Now, when Paul keeps going, and this new man, I want us to really think about this. This new man, if you really are a new creation, what do you think ought to happen? Is that it? God born you again and, oh well, now I've got two natures. That's true. You do have two natures. What ought we to do with it? I mean, right now, what ought we to do with it? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Well, no, let's go to 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And these are the gifts that He gave unto men. And He gave some apostles and some prophets. And He gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean I'm going to be able to make you perfect. Not in the way that we use the term perfect. But complete, fully grown, mature. That's what that means. For the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what God's gift to the church is. Till we all. Now, how long is this going to be? How long is this maturing supposed to happen? How long is this edifying supposed to happen? He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Because I like I said, I love Brother Howard and I love all you, but you are not who I'm supposed to be patterning and fashioning my life after. There's a lot of good traits that all of you have, but there's a lot of bad ones that all of you have too, just like me. I don't want you to fashion your life after me. I've got a lot of bad habits. But I'm pointing you to the one that we ought to be fashioning our life after, and He's the one that we bear the image of in that new man, and we ought to be maturing the new man while we're waiting on the unity and perfecting until the Lord comes back. While we're waiting on Him, we ought to be maturing. You know, it's funny how natural people, natural men, boys, girls, when we're born, you know what? Porter is, what, about 11 weeks old tomorrow? Something like that, 11, 12. He's almost 3 months old. You know how much different he looks today than he did the day he was born? You know, I mean, it's just 3 months. And he's changed. He's grown. He's gotten bigger. He's able to do more now. He's moving a lot more. He's hitting the little mobile things up in front of his little playpen thing or whatever. He's moving around. He's rolled over a few times by this point. It won't be long before he's going to get up on his knees and start to be mobile. When we are a new creation, folks, we ought to mature as the new creation because we're babes in Christ. Yes, we are. But we ought not to stay that way. That's right. We ought to mature in the new creation, in the new man, and look more like Christ. And the Bible talks about this, and it says that we ought to do that, it's probably going to be somewhere later, that we not be ashamed at His coming. Do you think some folks are going to be ashamed at His coming? The wicked aren't going to be ashamed at His coming. They're just going to be afraid. They're going to be fearful. But God's children that don't try to mature the new creation in them, that don't try to fashion their life after Christ. When Christ comes back, those folks are going to be ashamed, and I pray God I'm not one of them. I got a... Wow. That's amazing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We've danced all around this. I want to hit it today. I want us to read in chapter 2 of 1 John. John, you know, there we talked about there's only two groups. There's heaven and hell. There's righteous and the wicked, the just, the unjust, the sheep and the goats. That's the way John writes. There's no middle ground with John. There ought not to be any middle ground with us. And John writes it in verse 28 of chapter 2. And now, little children, I love that. You know, you're always going to be a little child to God. Always. My mama still calls me her little boy, and I weigh 240-something pounds. Well, maybe I might have been lying. I might be over 250 now. But I'm her little boy. Even though I'm a grandfather, I'm still her little boy. He says, "Behold, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You know, that's what Paul's prayer for his own self was. He said, "I keep under my body." That means he keeps his body under subjection. He keeps control over his body. He keeps control over the things that he does. And why did Paul want to do that? He said, "Lest I myself might be a castaway." That means, you know what a castaway is? You know what I'm going to do with this bottle when I get finished drinking the water in it? I'm going to throw it away. Why? Because it's useless. This bottle will be useless. It's got a purpose right now in holding that water. But when I'm finished with that water, that's good for nothing. Paul says, "I keep my body under subjection that I might not be good for nothing." Because I can conduct my life, and you can too, to where you're good for nothing. Is that harsh? It's true. I'm sorry if it hurt you a little bit. It hurts me. You know, and another reason why is so that we might not be ashamed. Can you think about, let's just think about this. What has the Lord done for us? What has He given to us? He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He says, "I've given you everything you need. I've made you a new creation. I've given you the run of the place, so to speak, with what I've given you. And what have we done with it?" If you've taken those things and you have been a good steward, I believe the Lord, it says that He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And sometimes they might be ashamed at His coming. And just imagine, the Lord comes back in with a shout, blows a trumpet, and we're found. He finds us doing something that we ought not to be doing. Saying something that we ought not to say. Thinking something that we ought not to think. Setting in motion plans to do things that would be dishonoring to God. Would you be ashamed at the glory of His presence? He's not finished. "And now, little children, abide in Him." The only way for us to do that, to not be ashamed, is to abide in Him. "That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." Or a person that does righteously is a new creature, a new creation. "Behold," boy, this is a whole sermon. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." not sons of Adam, sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, everybody's not born again. Did you know that? And everybody's not going to be born again. Did you know that? There are some people that are sons of Adam that won't be born again. But not any one of those that God foreknow won't be born again. I'm going to say that again. Not any person who God foreknew or predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son won't be born again and won't be conformed to the image of His Son. None of them won't be. That's a double negative to make the point very strong. None of the ones won't be conformed to His image. Now, beloved, now, are we the sons of God in the new creation? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what I'm going to look like. You don't know what you're going to look like. You know why? It's because you've never seen God. You've never seen Jesus Christ in the flesh, certainly, but you haven't seen the eternal Son of God. You've never seen the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. Oh, you felt Him, hadn't you? I know you have. But you haven't seen Him with your eyes. He hasn't appeared in your perception, in your eyes. I tell you, but, and it doesn't yet, I love that. He said it doesn't yet appear. It's going to come a day where it will appear, but not yet. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know. Now I love this part. He says, but we know. There's some things that we know about this. We know that when He shall appear, at that time, when He shall appear, who's the He talking about? He's talking about Christ. When Christ shall appear, we shall be like Him. That's Christ. For we shall see Him as He is. I can't see Him how He is right now. Can you? And I, even though those that saw Him when He was manifest in the flesh, James, John, Peter, Matthew, Luke, all of those brethren that saw Christ in the flesh still don't see Him, still didn't see Him as He is. But John did, didn't he? When he was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw the Lord and he heard that voice, as it were, a trumpet speaking to him. And when he looked at Him, he said His face shone like above the glory of the sun, and He fell at His feet as a dead man. And I can tell you what, if you as a natural mortal man were to view the glory of God, you would be, it would consume you, and you would be fallen down as a dead man as well. They didn't see Him in His natural state anymore, and you never saw Him in His natural state. But I can tell you that when He shall appear, you're going to not only be like Him, but you're going to see Him as He is. And that is so wonderful. My mind can't even wrap my head around what He is. See Him as He is. That's amazing. He says, and every man that hath this hope in him, in himself, or hope in Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What is that talking about? That means that we mortify the deeds of the flesh and live after the new man. Mature the new man. Purify yourself by following after the new man. And the only way you can do that is by the Spirit. The Spirit helps. By the Spirit. Now, I got to finish up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've been dancing around this all for months. Or forever, seemed like. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to finish up. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption in Adam. It is raised in incorruption in Christ. It is sown in dishonor. That's your Adam seed. That's your Adam nature. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. I tell you what, that's the glory of the Son of God. It is sown in weakness. My mother and father are dead. my father's dead. My mother's not. I don't know why I said that. But they're weak. They're weakness. They were dead in sins. Amen. They were dead in sin. But it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. I don't know what that looks like. But I kind of do. Do you know that when the Lord of glory, after He had been crucified, was in the grave for 3 days, and raised again, and they were all there, afraid, in the house, with the door shut, Jesus just materialized in that room, and they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they thought they had seen a spirit. What did the Lord say? He said, spirits do not have bodies as ye see me have. And he proved it by eating some fish. So after the resurrection, the Lord ate food. Spirits don't eat food, brethren. The food that spirits eat is spiritual food. Jesus ate natural food. As a spiritual body. Now, we got to keep going. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That means one, a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. You know, we bear the image of Adam in his fallen nature, don't we? We bear that image right now. But I tell you, and right now the new man in you bears the characteristics of God. Should, I know they do. They're inside of you. What we got to do is mature them out. And get them out of us and start maturing and perfecting ourselves. And I'm helping to hopefully perfecting the saints. Alright? They're not making people perfected so they'll be saints. It's talking about perfecting the saints. So we ought to always be doing that. So right now the new man has that. But this is not talking about them. This is talking about we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. It's not going to be something that's going to be hidden anymore. It's going to be something that's going to be that's going to be in full exposure at that point. It's not going to be shrouded in a sinful body anymore. The image of the heavenly will be fully exposed. I tell you what a glorious day that is. And he says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Why? Because you got to be a new creation. The corruption of these bodies can't inherit that place. Something has to happen first. You got to have a new man. But the new man even can't inherit incorruption in this body. Something's got to happen to that thing. Now, he says, you can't inherit incorruption. Corruption don't inherit incorruption. Behold, Paul says, look at this now. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See, I told you, this corruption can't inherit incorruption. There's got to be a change that happens to these old bodies. And I tell you, when we put off this robe of flesh, the song says, I'll drop and rise and seize on my everlasting prize. And I tell you, that is what is going to happen when the Lord comes back. These bodies will be changed and fit now to be dwell together in heaven's pure world with God, and that He'll be all in all, we talked about, and that we'll be able to fitly praise Him and see all of His glory and all of His splendor forever and ever and ever. I tell you, that's a blessed state of the saints that they'll be in. And it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. I don't know what that's... Or we don't think that, we might get tired of praising Him in heaven. We think about stuff like that foolishly, because we get tired of praising Him now, don't we? And we think we're going to carry some of that stuff into heaven. No, sir. Not one bit. The only thing you're going to carry into heaven, or you're going to be carried into heaven, but the one thing you're going to take with you, the only thing you're going to take with you, is the new man. That old man's done. The old man's done. Now, he says, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Where is it? Where is it, death? Paul's asking death a question. He's saying, oh death, where is thy sting? And then I'm going to tell you what the sting is. He says, oh grave, and Paul says, Paul asked the grave a question. Oh grave, where is thy victory? The strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Do you know there is a hollow and shallow victory that the grave and the death have right now? It's shallow. It's only 6 feet deep. It's a shallow grave. It's a shallow victory that they have over God's people. Paul's not talking about the wicked right here. He's talking about those children of God that were sown in corruption, but that they'll be raised in incorruption. He's talking about these bodies of the saints here. He's talking about those that God foreknew and predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, because He's talking about that conforming to the image right here. And He says, when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and He says, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death swallowed up in victory. Oh death, Paul says, where is thy sting? It's almost like Paul is taunting death and the grave, saying, where's all your stuff? You remember Elijah when he says, call on your God. Maybe he's on a trip somewhere. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's asleep. That's what Paul's doing to death. And what Paul's doing to the grave, he's saying, where is your victory? Where is your sting, death? You sting us for just a little while, but it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. Paul says, oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. He won the victory, didn't he? But he gave that victory to us. And thanks be to him for giving us the victory. And he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul sums it all up in verse 58, the last verse in this chapter. He says, therefore, seeing all these things that we've talked about, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's given us everything we need to become mature. Our labor is not what gets us into glory, is it? God did that. Jesus did that. Let's bear His image now. We won't be conformed to His perfect image now, but let's bear His image now, because we've been created in His image, in the new man. I pray the Lord blesses you to tell somebody about this. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should anyone have that desire to thank their God and to praise Him and pass the time of their sojourning in this life with this group of saints here. May God help us to be a blessing to someone this week.